I'm Ray Romero, and welcome to this week's edition of Community Focus. Say no to drugs. Obviously, it's what we should all do, but especially kids. That's been the message aimed at children for decades now, and there's a lot of indication that just say no just hasn't worked. What may help keep kids off of drugs? There are a lot of different people with different thoughts on that, but one of them is Joel Brown, who's the executive director of the Center for Educational Research and Development. He's come up with a plan called the Resiliency Drug Resistance Approach. Basically, what they do is teach kids how to say no to drugs by relying on their inner strength, their personality, helping them to develop the type of personal tools that you need to resist drugs over the long haul. Brown was in New Orleans recently conducting a workshop here in town, and we caught up with him, spent a little time talking about his program and this rather innovative approach.
What makes a resilience drug education workshop really different than what we see around the United States is that we are on the cusp of a major breakthrough in addressing kids and drugs. And basically we call it from deficit to development. There's a big difference between preventing a problem and promoting young people's development in making drug decisions. And for more than 25 years, we have seen, if you listen to the National Academy of Sciences, variations on the themes of just say no, variations on the idea of scare tactics in schools and to try and influence young people to not use drugs, even using fancy terms such as life skills training, they still remain variations on just say no when it comes to making drug decisions. And what we're trying to do is take the science and shift that understanding from the idea that we are not just preventing a problem, but we're using a development approach to help young people make healthier decisions about drugs. And what we know is that these variations on scare tactics are not only ineffective. The National Academy of Sciences and other organizations, our own research publications, have shown that they are actually harming young people in schools, and that these harms do not just extend to drug education. They move far beyond drug education. We now know that these programs move into affecting young people's achievement in schools. So when we talk about resilience education, we're talking about shifting from this deficit focus on scaring young people into not using drugs to locating their capacities and strengths for making decisions about drugs in the long term.
You know, I think no matter how you come down on this issue, most people would agree that the just say no to drugs approach has had mixed results at best. Some, of course, like yourself, would describe it as an abject failure. I mean, it's been, what, 25 years since Nancy Reagan first articulated those words. So if that doesn't work, what does work? What is a resiliency approach to this?
Well, the resilience approach says that if we look at the most basic elements of how all of us interact together, those young people that are in the most dire circumstances of abuse, poverty, and neglect, if we look at those kids that are in the most challenging circumstances overall, we know that if we focus on just three factors, caring, connected relationships, having opportunities for participation and contribution, and the development of high self-expectations, if we just focus on those three factors in the among the kids that are most challenged, not only by midlife will they go on to survive, but they will come to thrive. And those three factors predict positive outcomes in 80%, 80, almost 80% of young people that have those factors present. So our reasoning is if people focus on those factors and they just exist in everyday life, how about if we create a process so that young people can locate their own orientation towards those factors to help themselves? So it represents a fundamental shift towards targeting those protective factors that we know support positive outcomes and allowing them to marshal their own support in order to make positive drug decisions for the long term, and on the bigger picture, positive life-affirming decisions, so that by midlife, they're not only surviving, but they're thriving.
Clearly, though, the strengths that you talk about are going to vary from child to child. How do you identify them in a given individual?
That's the beauty of this program, is that if we can say it, we like to say it's a process, not a program. Even though we all refer to it as a program, we work with people that work with young people, and they identify their own strengths, and in so doing, they can model the process for young people to find their own unique and individual strengths for everybody's self-righting mechanism. When you have a circumstance where there's 8 out of 10 people that go on to survive and thrive by midlife, then we know that it's not something that's abnormal. We know that our self-righting mechanisms are really normal. So if we train people to learn how to identify those 3 factors and actually use them, then we know that we can help predict those positive outcomes, and young people really appreciate the idea that they can do this for themselves. So we call it a process instead of a program, and the process is they learn to identify and work with their own strengths and interests in order to support better drug decisions.
We're speaking today with Joel Brown, who is the Executive Director of the Center for Educational Research and Development, about the resiliency education approach to battling drug use among young people. Joel, give us an example, specifically if you can, of what you're talking about where this process is concerned. Maybe a real example if you can do that, but a child walking through the process from A to Z, starting with identifying that strength and going from there.
Well, what we do is we work with them in the classroom setting. So for example, instead of targeting what their risk factors are, or the negative elements that they might possess that predict may be related to negative outcomes, we work with them to find, well, are you most comfortable making a drug decision in a group setting, or are you most comfortable making a drug decision in a being by yourself, or with just a couple other friends? Being able to be in the moment and target and identify those circumstances where you're most comfortable, we found makes a huge impact on how young people make decisions. So being even more concrete, we can work with them to help them identify those circumstances, and then at the right moment, which we call the teachable moment, we give them drug information. And that's when they're in a state of readiness for learning. Instead of just going through a litany of this drug is bad, that drug is bad, this drug is worse, we give them honest, accurate, and complete information in the right setting, in the right circumstance, so that when young people are actually in those circumstances for making decisions, they can rely on a resource in themselves for making those better decisions.
So it's not just simply a matter of saying don't use drugs, but it's perhaps suggesting that message in a setting that will allow them to retain the information, and maybe when the time comes to remember the message that they heard in a more positive environment. Is that more or less accurate?
That is more or less accurate. That's a really good way of framing it. And what we found is these small differences in the way we make the approach and in trusting each young person's skill set to make their own drug decisions actually make a huge difference.
But the one thing I can't help but wonder is when the rubber meets the road, so to speak, when the child is actually in this situation, how much of this is he or she really going to retain? I mean, we talk about peer pressure so much, and I don't know the statistics, but I'm sure an awful lot of drug use starts as a result of that, probably more than 50% when you're talking about young kids or high school age kids. So what can you do, or how do you know, and I guess there's no way to know, but what assurances do you have that this message is actually going to be relied upon when the time comes?
Well, this is one of the beauties of this issue, is that resilience is on the precipice of a very exciting scientific breakthrough. We are just beginning to understand the role that an intentional focus on young people's strengths and interests can play on making these decisions. And when just small portions of a resilience focus that is shifting from preventing a problem to promoting their development is taken, young people have higher school achievement, young people have more involvement in their school, young people have much lower drug use. And this holds up over a long period of time. But as I said, we are in an exciting early period of development in this area, but all signs are really very, very positive.
And if people would like to find out more information about this particular approach, maybe they'd like to see if they could organize a workshop at their school or their community center. How would they do that?
Well, you can contact us at 866-ASK-CERD. That's 866-275-2373. Or I'll give you my personal email address. It's jhb, Joel H. Brown, at cerd.org. Joel H. Brown, J-H-B, at CERD.org.
Anything perhaps we haven't touched on?
Well, I think it's very important to say that for communities in need and for the, you know, really high levels of increasing youthful drug use, there have been very few breakthroughs in the past 20 or 25 years. We are on the precipice of an exciting breakthrough in this area, and I would just urge people that are concerned about young people and drugs to really take this shift from a deficit approach to a youth development approach and putting some meat on the bones of that into account in a resilience drug education model.
All right. We've been speaking to Joel Brown, Executive Director of the Center for Educational Research and Development. And Joel, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.